From the independent producer project of KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
Hey, just before this starts, I want to let you know that partway through this episode, there's a loud and somewhat abrupt sound. If you're paying attention to the story, you'll actually hear it coming from a mile away. But if you're just kind of passively listening, it might surprise you, make you yell an expletive, or crash your car, or just make you make a screwed up, foul face in front of your coworkers. I'm talking to you, Heather. This episode also contains a brief but vivid description of violence. So with that being said, enjoy the show.
Uncross, no crossed legs, no crossed hands, no crossed anything. Close your eyes. Take a slow, deep breath. Start out in through your nose and out through your mouth. Slow, deep, easy breath. Relax. Safe. Both of your auras are, my God, beautiful.
What was that experience like for you? You were holding the microphone during the interview.
My arm got tired. just holding it. At first it was like I was just the bystander and holding it up and you two were talking, but then it kind of, yeah, when it switched to being the interactive, I guess, what was it called?
It's called astral projection.
Astral journey. Then it was much more of like a, we were all in it together.
I actually really didn't think you were going to become a part of the story.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys some oil if you want. This is to help open up all your senses, all six senses. Put a little bit right where your head bends. Because that's a portal, energy portal. That's why, like, when you pray, you bow your head to open up that portal for spirit.
It smells good.
Thank you.
Just right here in the back, right?
Yeah, right where it bends. Boom, boom, boom. That little hole right there, right where it bends.
Be Monsters, the podcast about...
We're literally going to step out of our body. One, two, three. Step out.
The podcast about...
The unknown.
So one thing that I'm a little bit self-conscious about in all of this is that I feel like I know a little bit about you. I don't know a ton about you, but you're someone who's very focused on intuition. I feel like you probably know a lot about me and Lene. And I'm curious to know what your intuition has told you about us.
Okay, for you, really deep soul. Actually, you have a really, you're probably a very old soul. There's this beautiful depth that you're really just coming into your own with. Does that make any kind of sense?
It does.
Okay, that's what I see about you. And with you, you haven't quite came out of your shell yet. It's like you're wading into the shallow end instead of just belly flopping into the deep end. You're testing waters. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think this would be a good point. I would love to have you introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Patty Negri. I live in Los Angeles, Hollywood, actually. I am a psychic medium, and I'm also a magical practitioner or a witch. I'm a good witch. I don't worship the devil or turn people into frogs, but I do believe in magic, and I do completely believe that we can be the architects of our life, that we can change and shift and literally move fate, and that's magic. When I was two or three, I remember talking to beings and entities. There was one that lived in the closet and under the bed, all the things that people imagine of little kids. I just knew things. I would go out in my little suburban backyard and be working with herbs and oils and things and making potions and coming up with chants and sounds and verbal and vocal. And mostly people would say, oh, she has a good imagination, you know, and maybe I do as well. You know, I could spend hours and hours in my room, you know, whether talking to spirits or playing with my stuffed toys. How different is it? You know, it was just a part of regular life. I didn't have any upbringing like, oh, that's bad, or that's the devil, or that's Satan. And it's just something I always tapped in, and nobody told me it wasn't right. A few years, I think in the 80s, I kind of went, ugh, I just want to be normal. I'd wear hats all the time so I wouldn't be psychic, and I'd not astral travel. And I just want to be like everybody else, you know. But then I came right back. I became a seeker.
What were you a seeker of?
A seeker of knowledge, a seeker of magic, of secrets, the real meaning behind everything, the where's, the why for, what is life about?
Can you still astral travel?
I do. I astral travel all the time.
How hard would it be for us to astral travel?
I don't think it would be hard at all.
Is that something you'd be willing to do with us to take us somewhere?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Let me think about how to do this. Yes, certainly I'll try. We'll try anything. This is going to depend on your faith and trust, to trust what you see, what you hear, and for you being willing to not be afraid to say it. But if you guys are able to do that, willing to do that, sure.
Would you go to a psychic?
I don't think I would pay for one. I mean, I'm too broke to pay for one. I mean, I didn't think she was like trying to trick us or anything either. It was very like, I just felt like she was very in touch with her intuition, and that's kind of what it was, picking up on like subtle cues.
I want you to imagine right now brilliant white light swirling around your toes. Most brilliant white light you've ever seen. Everywhere it touches, it heals, aligns, balances, caresses, embraces, expands, work its way up over the balls of your feet, over your heels, up your ankles. It might feel like warm white wax or warm white smoke as it overtakes you, up, 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 all the way up to your knees, your beautiful knees that stand you strong, move you forward. Swirling now up into your torsos, into your bodies, breathing in this brilliant white light now. Best oxygen you've ever taken in, shooting it through your entire bloodstream, throughout your entire body. See it swirling, swirling now around your heart, your beautiful young hearts. Swirling around your hands, your beautiful hands, and then shooting it out your fingers like flashlights of pure divine energy. And now this beautiful white light is swirling back into your brains, your beautiful brains, your left brain, your right brain, your intelligence and your intuition, your knowledge and your sense of knowing, all bridged together with pure source energy, pure light. Guys, to picture yourself standing on a mountain now, a beautiful mountain. It's a perfect day, sunny day, blue, blue skies, puffy white clouds, soft, perfect breeze just kissing you. No one there but you and the mountains around. I want you to see those sparkly colors that make you you, how beautiful that is. And before we even travel, we're going to come outside of our body. Everybody knows how to astral travel a little bit, but we're really going to do it. On the count of three, we're literally going to step out of our body. One, two, 3. Step out.
So Patty, you know, had us close our eyes and we did some breathing exercises, and then she started having us visualize certain things, and she asked you what part of your body you felt something in. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, she asked me what part of my body did I feel a blockage in. I said my spine.
Fly around yourself and see yourself from the outside in. How beautiful you are. And I actually want to, before we go on to our travel, I want each of you to clear anything that maybe is not quite clear. See if you can see a spot that, it isn't quite as bright as it everywhere. Maybe there's just a little bit of blockage, not quite as sparkly of colors. It could be anywhere on your body, it could be an organ. I want you to trust where it is. So, when I touch you, do you see an area on yourself? Okay, where is it?
My spine.
Your spine, yeah. And that's fair. And it's not really big, but that's certainly not a place you want any kind of a blockage. So no judgment at all, just hold that for a second. Okay, now with you, Jeff, do you see an area that's not quite as bright as everywhere else?
My liver.
Your liver, interesting. So trust that. Okay, so each of you right now, I want you to imagine that literally a hose, like a rubber or plastic, like a medical hose, is hooked, one right to your spine and one right to by your liver. They're long hoses. You can't see the end of them. They go past the mountain, past those rolling hills, into the blue, blue sky, past the puffy white clouds, and you can't see the end. But look really, really close at them, and they're kind of filled with sludge and mud and yucky stuff. So these little blockages each of you have are not anything new or recent. They're from long ago and far away. What we're going to do now is like Superman, like Supergirl, we're going to soar up, follow this silly hose. Feel the wind on you, feel the soaring. So now straight up, straight up, straight up. Feel how freeing that feels. Feel the wind on you. Feel how good that feels, flying further and further away from the top of the mountain. Look down every once in a while. See how beautiful you are. See that glowing white of divinity around you. See those sparkling colors of your essence, your personality, your knowledge. As you're getting farther and farther, flying through the veil, up, up past those hills, into the blue, blue skies, through the puffy white clouds, around the puffy white clouds, and we get past that last puffy white clouds, and there's a big bubble. There's kind of a very big bubble. It's a little foggy. You've got to get very close inside. With each of you, you're inside. You're at deep ages, and you're not very happy about something. You are very young. You see it, you're little, you're huddled, you're not even school age. Something happened to you, I would guess about 4, could be wrong a year either way. Do you see, are you remembering it? You're a beautiful, beautiful little girl. She's sad, she's angry, she's confused, she's overwhelmed. There's even guilt involved. You have some guilt involved with that you're carrying through. Do you see it? Okay, let it develop for a second.
Like, I thought this was just going to be kind of fun, like let's travel to somewhere. And I suddenly realized that we were in a situation that I actually had no preparation for, which was I had my eyes closed, but suddenly I realized when you talked that your eyes were closed but not dry.
Mm-hmm. She was the one who suggested that it was an early trauma when I was around 4 years old, give or take a year. And I, before she even said that, I was kind of like tearing up.
And I wasn't sure what to do in that situation because we hadn't discussed anything like this.
What do you mean? Like
you became a participant in the story in a way that you hadn't necessarily signed up for.
So do you see this little girl now? Do you see what she's upset about? Okay, now I want her to tell you. This isn't you remembering. I want her to tell you her perception, her little, how old is she?
4.
Okay, good. I want her to tell you in her 4-year-old mentality, her 4-year-old maturity level, her 4-year-old understanding, her perception of what she's upset about. I want you to just hear it now.
Scary. And
I know. It's very scary.
He was my responsibility, and I didn't.
It's okay.
It was my fault.
Okay. It was her fault. That's all the things she's thinking right now.
It was my fault, and I didn't. I was a coward, and I ran away.
Okay. All right. I want you to grab her into your arms. Let her know. She's perfect. She's just a perfect little girl. And more than any.
She's not.
Yes, she is. She's a little girl. That's all she is. Let her know she's safe and she's loved and she's worthy of love. Bring that wise self out in you. Let her know that. Soothe her. She's scared to death inside of you. Be the wise woman you are and let her know it is not her fault. Caress her, hold her, hug her. Make her smile. Say whatever you have to make her smile.
It wasn't just a random time for you. Like, there was something there.
Yeah, there was. There was, like, a real clear memory that I had. Do you want me to talk about that memory?
If you want to, then yes. And if not, then no. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was around 4 years old, my mom was out and we had a babysitter. My father was living in Korea in the services, and me and my brother were living in Texas still. He's like a year and a half younger than I am. And I convinced him to go ask the babysitter for ice cream because we didn't get dessert. And so me being I was always kind of a little bit manipulative older sister. I was like, go ask her for ice cream. Like, I'll see what she says. The kitchen had 2 entryways. So one was like by the formal dining room and one was like in the kitchen nook. The less formal area, and that was all what was lit. And so I went around the formal dining room and was like a creep. I was like creeping on, like I could see the kitchen, but no one could see me because I was in the darkness. So I was just like creeping on them, seeing what was going on. And this little boy, 2 years old, goes and asks her for ice cream, and she just flipped out and started beating him with a wooden spoon so hard all over his body that it broke in half. And I ran lightning fast on my tippy toes so she couldn't hear me into my bed and pulled my covers up and pretended to be asleep. And so my brother came back to bed and he was sobbing until my mom came home. My mom came home and realized he was black and blue all over his body. I mean, imagine a 2-year-old, black and blue. It was extremely traumatic, and I can't remember what they filed against her, but we had to go to counseling for quite a while. That memory probably was one of my earliest traumas. And it, you know, when she said, what did she say? Like,
be the wise woman you are and let her know it is not her fault.
It's not my fault. Well, I never, even after that, I didn't accept that because, you know, I was the older sister and I had asked my brother to do something for me because I was being selfish and I wanted ice cream. So I should have asked for ice cream. Like, it's that pain. I don't know if that pain is ever going to go away. It stirred up a lot.
Was that jump into your past? Was that welcome or unwelcome?
Yeah, I always welcome it. In the moment, I was really opening myself up to it being real and kind of in a state where I'm like ready to feel those things inside myself. And she pointed to an age that it's a very vulnerable age. So I don't. Yeah, there's the two sides of me that's like, yes, that is something real. And it's something that's like incredibly painful and difficult. And I don't know how to deal with it. It wasn't like it unearthed some like forgotten memory. It's a memory that's been present with me ever since it happened. I just don't always remember it like as crisply. I always like to remember who I've been at different points in my life.
So both of you, I want you to dive back into the sky. Dive, dive, dive. And now we're going to land back at that mountain. And again, just because, especially for you, I want to cut these cords. So I want us to step back inside of our body. So I want you to, on the count of three, step back in. One, two, three. Now, I want you to see those cords as much as you can, those stupid hoses that are there. Do you want to get rid of them forever and ever? Okay, so inside your body, I want you to take your best I can do anything stance, your best warrior, god, goddess, I can do anything stance. I want you to see yourself on those mountains with your legs spread, your arms high into the sky. And right now, in your hands, a sword is forming. The most beautiful sword you have ever seen in your life. Might be gold or silver or bejeweled, but it's perfectly weighted for you, like it was made for you, perfectly formed. And even if you've never seen these swords before, they're familiar to you, like deja vu, because they are real. It's your divine sword of truth. We're all born with one, and nobody tells us for some reason. It's the same energy that you see a 100-pound woman can pick up a car because it rolled on their child. But right now it's gonna have one job, and it's to cut this one cord that you both have. So hold those swords high, high in the sky. Now feel the sun glistening on them. Now they're bursting into flames. Your flaming sword of truth. Feel the power there. But right now these flaming swords of truth have one job, one thing to do, and that is to cut through these tubes that you've been carrying with you for so long, for you for lifetimes. So on the count of three, with every bit of desire, every bit of passion, every bit of visualization that you can master, in one full ninja mood, you're gonna cut through those swords forever and ever and ever. Hold them high. We're gonna hear that gong again. On the count of three, here we go. Your flaming sword of truth. One, two, three. Feel that white light rushing into you like a dam breaking into your entire spine, into your liver, into your whole belly. Feel those colors rushing in. Feel that wholeness of being. Feel the buzz in every part of your body, that wholeness, that clearing, that cleansing.
Did Patty change your opinion of psychics at all or not?
There was something that she said, and I don't know if it's relevant, but to me it really stuck out. When we first walked in, you were like, what do you see in us? Well, she told you you were a very old soul. She turned to me and she said, what did she say? That I'm a person who is like still figuring my way out in the world, and I don't know
if you've like come into your
full self, and like I'm always, yeah, figuring that out. It felt very untrue to me. I was like, actually, my problem is a little bit the opposite, which is that I always kind of know who I am, and I'm always battling with who that is. It's not that I haven't really figured out who I am. It's that I get annoyed with who I am, and I can't control it. At the end of the astral projection, you know, she said that I was very empathic, and the thing that I need to figure out is what emotions I'm taking on that are my own and which aren't. That is very true for me. Like, I felt like that was, like, I would replace her initial reaction to me with that.
It's a beautiful place. Now we're slowly gonna let that go away. We're slowly gonna come back to my little dining room in Hollywood. But you're going to keep that energy high, yet that sense of relaxation and that sense of adventure. You're going to keep that buzz going in every cell of your body. Fade, 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 fade away. And whenever you're ready, you can wiggle your fingers and toes and open your eyes.
Patty Negri is the Senior Vice President of the American Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums. She also co-hosts her own podcast. It's called Cosmic Truth, and she regularly appears on television programs such as ABC's Wipeout, Mansion Hunters, and a program about spectrophilia called Ghostly Lovers. Actually, Patty does this and a lot more, and I could keep listing her projects all day. So instead, just head over to our website, where we have links to all of her projects, all of the aforementioned videos, and a bunch of pictures I took of Patty holding dowsing rods in her house. Oh, and her Amazing Race audition tape, which is wonderful. We're at hbmpodcast.com. Lene Day helped record this episode, and she also became an unwitting subject of it. Lene is a performance artist living in Los Angeles. She's also the co-creator of KLAM Radio, a new podcast in the form of a public radio station broadcasting out of a fictional desert casino town. KLAM Radio is great. We have links to Lene and KLAM on our website. We also talked a little bit about astral projection in this episode, but didn't really go through the nuts and bolts of how it works. So on our website, we also have an explainer about astral travel and a related phenomenon called remote viewing. Did you know that the US military hired psychics during the Cold War? Check it out. Again, we're at hbmpodcast.com. This episode of Here Be Monsters was produced by me, Jeff Entman, along with help from Bethany Denton and our editor at KCRW, Nick White. Music on this show came from The Black Spot and Lucky Dragons. And a big thank you to HBM listener Cynthia, who sent us an email to tell us about Patty. Oh, and here's a bit of great news. If you requested a Here Be Monsters bleached t-shirt, Bethany and I probably made yours yesterday. So we'll send you an email very shortly. Here Be Monsters is a part of the Independent Producer Project from KCRW. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.
Last thing, how many spirits are around us now at the end of this interview that you can sense?
Four.